want to talk for a minute about what Jeremiah wrote today. Actually, what God said through Jeremiah today. Because I think it goes to the depth of his heart and the breadth of his passion for his people. And that is us, that is you, that is me. In chapter 3, when we were reading today, he says, look, at the hilltops, consider this. You've had sex with other gods on every one of them. You waited for those gods like a thief lying in wait in the desert. You defiled the land by your wicked prostitution to other gods. That is why the rains have been withheld and the spring rains have not come. So he's using this imagery, this relationship imagery, this husband-wife imagery, this institution that he set up to be the closest one that there is, the model of the intimacy that we enjoy with him or are invited to. So literally that verse is saying, literally, where have you not been ravished? And it's a rhetorical question, which is nowhere, which suggests that their entire land had completely given themselves over to other gods on every hilltop. But the image your God uses is one of the deepest relationship, the deepest intimacy possible. And he's saying, look, you've given yourself to someone else. That's easy for us to read this and just consider their land of ancient times and just not be able to relate it to our own. But how many of us have bowed to the god of greed? How many of us have bowed to the god of things, possessions? How many of us have bowed to the god of work and just thrown ourselves into that? Or the god of relationships? The god of family, even? I mean, at the end of the day, what it boils down to is that our relationship with God is the first and foremost thing. And anything less than that is exalting something above God in our lives, no matter what that is, and it can be anything. But as soon as that happens, as soon as something exalts itself above the lordship of God in our lives, it is a false god. We have given ourselves over to something else. We've cheated on God, basically, if I want to put it in modern day vernacular. God doesn't look at his people just with this kind of aloof abandon. He is intimately involved in each one of our lives and desires that kind of intimacy with us. And this is why he uses this imagery. But he's also saying, look, because of what you've done, this is why the rains have been withheld and the spring rains have not come. Well, it doesn't take too long to look around the world and examine things that have gone awry because of actions. It's not hard to look around the United States right now. One of the most prosperous lands in the world, and say, we have given ourselves over to false gods, haven't we? The god of greed has raised its ugly, despicable head and wreaked havoc on our markets. This is the repercussions. This is why the rain hasn't come. This is why the spring rains didn't come. Greed, at least in that context, went on and on and on for years until finally things broke. So it's important to apply this personally and look at our lives and say, okay, objectively, honestly, authentically, what are the idols in my life? What am I bowing down to and worshiping? Essentially, what am I giving myself over to? As in the words of God, what am I being ravished by? What am I prostituting myself to that is not God? What am I bowing to? Because the ultimate outcome is that everything will dry up. The rains will not come. If we jump ahead just a couple of verses, once that thought is fully completed, then God calls to his people, "Come back to me. Wayward Israel, says the Lord, I will not continue to look on you with displeasure, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry with you forever." Okay, understand what he's saying here. Because of the imagery, because of the intimacy, because of the depth of how he feels, he is looking at Israel as a, basically an adulterous spouse. When that kind of betrayal happens in a person's life, and I know that some of you who are hearing my voice right now know exactly what that feels like. You've either dealt the blow or you've been on the receiving end. But the kind of betrayal that comes from adultery is the deepest kind of betrayal a person, a human being, can experience. That level of betrayal, for some reason, is as far as things go. That is the deepest betrayal. And that's what God is describing here. But he's saying, look, I will take you back. All right? I will take you back. I will not continue to look on you with displeasure. I'm merciful. I won't be angry with you forever. However, you must confess that you have done wrong and that you have rebelled against the Lord your God. You must confess what you've done, that you've given yourself over to foreign gods. Under every green tree, not obeyed my commands. Come back. And that is such the message of the Old Testament. Come back to me. It is important for us to come back. I mean, I know we are starting the Wind Farm Prayer Initiative. I know that we've got a lot going on here with new languages and missionary work that we're about to do. I know that we're about to go back to India. We've got all this stuff going on in our community. And we're about to pray fervently and earnestly. And revival is a byproduct of that. Personally, in our lives, and in everything that we touch, that's a byproduct. Great. But none of that's going to happen without personal reflection about the things that we are bowing down to and worshiping that aren't God. The things that we are cheating, the things that we are being adulterous about. I know that that's strong language. You know, that's probably not the best way to look at things when you have to turn the spotlight on yourself. And I'm turning it on myself. And I didn't make up this type of language. This is the language God uses.